We mentioned last time that there are two major kulas when it comes to the concept of Bishul Akum. We found so many kulas in Pas Akum. In Bishul Akum, we thought that it's a gzera that was nispashet b'chol Yisrael, so it should apply in all circumstances. But comes the Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph and says, not so fast. There are two different versions to this Gemara. One version has it that kol davar shenechal kemo shuchai ein b'mishum b'shul ayakum, that anything that can be eaten raw, any food that can be eaten raw, is not subject to the rule of Bishul Akum. And the other version is that kol she'eino ola al shulchan melochim ein b'mishum b'shul ayakum, that anything that's not brought on a king's table is not subject to the rule of Bishul Akum. Two different limitations to the prohibition of Bishul Akum. So we started talking about last time the first factor, the first issue, and that is if it's nechal kamo shuchai, if it can be eaten raw. We said Rashi and Beitza gives the simple understanding as to why that's not subject to the rule of Bishul Akum. Rashi says that if it can be eaten raw, so then the Bishul doesn't accomplish anything. So we can't call that Bishul Akum. He did cook it physically, but the Bishul is not significant because it can be eaten raw anyway. And there are others, the Taz in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Kuf Yud Gimel, Sivkot and Aleph, suggests that if it's Nechal Kamo Shuchai, it's not really Choshev. It's not Choshev. So it's not Choshev. We're not afraid of a Kiyur Vadas. There's no concern for Bishul Akum in that case. It's not so much that it's not called Bishul. Bishul is Bishul. You did cook it, but it's not so Choshev, so therefore we're not afraid of Kiyur Vadas, and the Gzeir Bishul Akum doesn't apply. And it seems like maybe the Ran and Beitz is alluding to that because he has a Loshon that if it's Nechal Kamo Shuchai, we're not afraid of Kiyur Vadas. According to Rashi, what does he need that addition? He doesn't need this concept that we're not afraid of Kiyur Vadas. According to Rashi, it's just not Bishul Bechlal, so there's nothing to talk about. So the fact that the Ran adds this point, do we have the Ran in the packet? There's a lot of Chelkas Binyamin in the packet. Yes, we do, actually. Page 9. Ran says, he says, Beferish, it's not that it's not a Tavshil. Right? For Erev Tavshilin, it counts as a Tavshil. Right? The Erev Tavshilin is made out of Pas and Tavshil. Right? If you have the beginning of your cooking, the beginning of the cooking from before Yom Tov that leads into Shabbos, so we're afraid that you're not going to have a money yafa for Yom Tov, a money yafa for Shabbos, you're not going to leave something chosher for Shabbos. So as long as you start the process from before Yom Tov, so then we're not afraid. So you need a tavshil and you need a pas. So the Ran says just because it's not a kamo shulchai doesn't mean it's not called a tavshil. It is called a tavshil. Why is it called a tavshil? But there's no bishul. The answer is it's called bishul, but it's not subject to bishulei nachrim. Ein be mishum bishulei nachrim. You can use this item, it's not a kamo shulchai, as the tavshil is part of the Erev Tavshilin, because it is a bishul, it is a tavshil. But it's not subject to the rules of bishul akum, because it's not going to lead to kiyur vadas. So l'chora, that's where the Taz got his svara from. What does that mean? It's not going to lead to kiyur vadas, and therefore what? People are not going to invite each other over this food. It's not choshev enough, so we're not afraid of chasnas, even though it's called a tavshil, but it's not subject to the rule of Bishul Akum. And l'chora, the Ran and the Taz are going together. So that's the tam. The tam adav, the reason why something that's not Nechal Kamo Shuchai is not subject to Bishul Akum. What does it mean that it's Nechal Kamo Shuchai, it can be eaten raw? So the Ritva, I think we mentioned this yesterday as well, the Ritva in a short piece, he says that kol anechok moshulchai means perish roi lo ochok moshulchai, that it can be eaten raw. Ve'avo bishein huragilus lo ochlo ela mevushal. It's normal to cook it, but it's roi lekach to be eaten raw. That's what the Ritva writes. That's what he writes. But not everyone agrees. Not everyone agrees to this definition. How so? Well, to better understand this, we have to look at the next Ritva. We mentioned there are two different Lashonas in the Gemara. Two different Lashonas. whether something that's not Chamosh Shulchai is not subject to Bishlachim, or something that's Eino Olo Shulchan Malachim is not subject to Bishlachim. What's the Nafkamina? So the Gemara says, Ika Benayu, Dogim Ketanim Va'ardi V'daisa. These things, the Dogim Ketanim, the small fish, the butsa, the onions, you said, right? The mushrooms, and daisen, some kind of a cooked porridge. So why is this a nafkamina? So comes the Ritva, he quotes the Machlokas Rishonim about this. Pirish Rabbeinu Chanan Alzal, the Dogim Ketanim Va'ardi Enam Nechalim Kmo Shem Chayim Ve'enam Lashochem Alochim. Rabbeinu Chanan Al says that the first two items is an Ika Benayu. They're Enam Nechalim Kmo Shem Chayim. So according to the first Lashon, they should be subject to Bishalachim, but they're Enam Olam Lashochem Alochim. So according to the second Lashon, they're not subject to Bishalachim. But Zakr Rabbeinu Chanan Al B'daisa Hadavi Behepach Shenecha Kmo Shu Chayim. Daisa can be eaten raw. Dachitim chazul lakos kedi isa bevrachas. The Gemara Brachas says that you can eat chita raw. You can sometimes they like to have chomp on the grains. They're not cooked. They're not processed. But it's raw. It's chazul aksisa. So it's necha gemoshul chay. But it's olah shulchan malachim. So the nafkamina is the reverse. He says according to Lishna Kama, it's not subject to bishlachim because it's nechal. It can be eaten raw. But according to the second Lashon, it is subject to Bishlachim because it's all Lashochem Alachim. Rabbi Nachanana learns that the Ikab and I was not working all together, all three cases in the same, you know, B'chodamach. The first two are an Afkamin in one direction, and the last one dies an Afkamin in the other direction. So the Ritva is very troubled by this, Rabbi Nachanana. He says, V'kosha tuva, heichnu chaloma de daisa ola Lashochem Alachim, lalavis bo sapas, legirsa didan. How can you say that the girsa that we have is Ola Shulchan Malachim Lelafes Boasapas? So we're going to talk about that element in a few minutes. It's very, very important. Does it have to be both Ola Shulchan Malachim and it's Malafes Boasapas? You eat it together with bread? Maybe if you don't eat it together with bread, it's still Choshev. We'll see. So comes the Ritva and says, according to our girsa, that it has to be Malafes Boasapas. So how can you say Daisa? Daisa is Ola Shulchan Malachim. Daisa is like a porridge, right? I don't know, wheatina, farina, oatmeal, whatever it is, right? Whatever kind of porridge it is. He says, that's not malafis bo'es hapas. It's not malafis bo'es hapas. The Gemara says in Beitza, Daf Tes Zayin, Hani bavli tipshoi da achli nama benama. The Babylonians were tipshoi, the Gemara calls them. They're foolish. Because they eat bread with bread. Now, what kind of a sandwich are you going to have for lunch? You have a cold cut sandwich, you have a fish sandwich, you know, you'll have a peanut butter and jelly, you know, if you're still in high school, whatever. You'll have different things with bread. But can you imagine a bread sandwich? Bread on bread. Right? Two slices. Bread, that's, no. Oh, no. So let's toast the top and have like a soft slice in the middle. Right? That's a nice sandwich, right? It's ridiculous. We have a sandwich of bread on bread. What kind of a strategy? You have bread, but you have something else with the bread. So daisa, what's daisa? You're going to put bichlal, put farina in your bread. That's a messy sandwich. But like, okay, oatmeal, let's say, right? You're going to put oatmeal in the middle of your sandwich with grain on grain? People don't do that kind of thing. You put your protein in the middle. You put something, avocado, I don't know. You put your hummus in the middle. We don't eat bread with bread. So he says, how can you claim that dice is malafes boasapas? Well, that's olah shulchan malachim. If you need it to be malafes boasapas also, no one eats dice with bread. So it's a pele, he says. So he gives an answer. We're going to see that answer. That's the Rashba's answer. We'll get to it. But the Ritva rejects that answer. And he says he thinks the only real answer is that you have to explain dice in the same way as the others, as the Dogim Ketanim and the Ardi, namely. Says the Ritva that Daisa also is Eino Necha Kamo Shulchai. So according to the first Lashon, it is B'cha B'shalakam. It's not eaten raw. So if it can't be eaten raw, then the Bishul accomplishes something. And according to the second, according to the Ran, it's Choshev enough. Right? So it's subject to the rules of B'shalakam. But it's also not Olal Shulchan Malachim. It's not Olal Shulchan Malachim because it's not Malafis B'Sapas. It's not Olah Shulchan Malachim. So according to the second Lashon, it's not subject to the rules of Bishalakam. So this is like Rashi. Rashi put all three together. That they're not Nechakam Oshul Chai, but they ain't Olah Shulchan Malachim. So that's the Nafkamina between the two Lashonas. Lelishna Basra says the Ritva, Eimba Mishim Mishul Egoyim, the Avagav Lechitim Chosu Lokus. Right? Avagav Lechitim Chosu Lokus, Anan Achila Kamo Shulchai Be'ina. He says, why is Daisa Eino Nefa Kamo Shulchai? He's got to explain. If you say Daisa is Nefa Kamo Shulchai because it's Chosu Lekisisa, so great. But since he has to flip it, so now he has to explain why is Daisa Eino Nefa Kamo Shulchai, but it's Chosu Lekisisa. Chosi Lekisisa. I do understand why it's Olal Shulchan, why it's not Olal Shulchan Melachim, because it's not Malafis Bois Apas. That much I get. But why is it Eino Nefa Kamo Shulchai? It's Chosi Lekisisa. He says, no. It is Chosi Lokus. But Chosi Lokus doesn't make it Roy Lachila. Anan Achila Kamo Shulchai Be'inan. Kisisa is not Achila. Kisisa does haste Nisht Achila. That's not called Achila. It's not called Achila. It's not called Achila. So because it's not called Achila, it's called Kisisa. Eating it raw, so you'd say, what's the difference? You're ingesting it. No, but it's called ksisa. It's a different act. It's not viewed as achila. Yeah, man, it's a different type of thing. So because it's a different type of thing, that's called enonecha kamo shulchai. The Ritva says, as long as it's ro'oi la'ochlo, that's enough to be called necha kamo shulchai. Ro'oi la'ochlo chai. But chitim is not ro'oi la'ochlo chai. It's ro'oi lokus oso chai. So therefore, it's called enonecha kamo shulchai. That's how the Ritva explains. Comes the Meiri, and he says, no, I'll say, push it. Even if you say that ksisa is bechlal achila, ksisa, achila, okay, it's a different term. It's a different term, but basically it's the same thing. It's doch de zelbezach. So what's really the difference between the two? So comes the Meiri and says, no, even if you'll say that it's royal achila, that's not enough. That's not enough. Where's the lashon of the Meiri? Pirshu bagadoli harabadim sheshloshen nechalim chayim. He quotes Rashi, same thing as Rashi, that's the Gedolei Rabbanim. That they're all not Necha Kamo Shulchai, skipping down. But how do you understand Chitim? Ein Korim Necha Kamo Shulchai, Elim Kein Hi Achilosa Harigila Lebnei Adam. Afal Pi She'ena Iker Achilas Oso Hadavid. Did you ever see Afal Pi with the Pesophis? Afal, yeah, Af. Afal Pi, I never saw that. Yeah? The Meiri. Afal Pi, that's the way the printer printed it. Zok the Meiri, if it's not the Achila Regila, even though, right, even though it's Roy Lachul Kamo Shulchai, it's Roy for Achila. Because he says Bechlal Achila, fine. But it's not the Achila Regila, it's an abnormal Achila. It's not that it's not Achila, it's an abnormal Achila. If it's an abnormal Achila, then that's not called Nechal Kamo Shulchai. Right? It's got to be an Achila Regila. It doesn't have to be the Iker Achila of Oso Dava. Maybe there's another way that they eat this item. There's a more normal fashion, but it's still normal. As long as it's normal, then that's called Nechal Kamo Shulchai. If it's normal to be eaten with the Achila Regila Chai. But if it's only Ro'oi La'och L'Chai, but it's not an Achila Regila, if it's Shaloka Derech Achila, so that's not called Nechal Kamo Shulchai, because it's not a normal way to eat it. It doesn't have to be the ikar way that it's eaten. Maybe the ikar way it's eaten is when it's mavushal. But as long as it's a normal way to be eaten, chai, then that's called nechag moshul chai. But if it's not the normal way, even though it is nechag moshul chai, and chozi l'ksis is chozi l'achila, it's nechag moshul chai, but it's not the normal way, zokta me'iri, that's called eno nechag moshul chai. And that's what ksisa is. Right? Ksisa is certainly Shaloka derech achila, right? Like Rashi says in Yuma. Rashi in Yuma, Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, talking about a Gemara that Zar she'ochal truma b'shogeg is mishalim keren b'chomesh. He has to pay the principal and he has to pay a fifth more. It's a special kanas that the Torah puts on the Zar. A non-Kohen who eats truma has to pay the keren. Let's say he eats $100 worth of truma. Right? So he eats truma b'shogeg. So he has to pay. What does he pay? He doesn't pay money, actually. The rule is that someone who eats chum v'shogeg, he has to pay chulin tahorim that can become truma. Right? It has to be a dover haroi lios kodesh. That is special din of tashlume truma b'shogeg. Not tashlume truma b'mezim, but b'shogeg. B'shogeg, you have to pay a dover haroi lios kodesh. You pay chulin tahorim. So let's say he ate $100 worth of truma. So he has to pay $100 worth of chulin. Right? Chulin tahorim that can become truma. But he also has to pay a chomesh on top of that. Chomesh on top of that as a special knas. But that's only if he ate the truma. Right? If he ate the chumah, the pasuk says, "V'ishki ochal kodesh b'shkagav yosav chamishi so olav." He has to eat the kodesh b'shkagav. So if he did an achila of the chumah, if the zayr did an achila of the chumah, then he has to even pay chomish. But if he didn't do an achila, that's not kiyochal, so then he pays the karen. He pays the karen because he still stole. He still ruined the chumah. He's mazik. He certainly has to pay the karen, but he doesn't have to pay the chomish. So Rashi said, so the Gemara says, if he's kosas achita, kosas asaorim, if he eats the saorim ruah, then he pays karen, but not chomish. It's shalokadako. It's an achila shalokadako. Achila shalokadako does hasnish tachila. It's not called kiyochal. It's not kiyochal. So then he's not going to have to pay chomesh. So it's not an achila harigila. It's shalokadako. Right? It's not a regular achila, but it is an achila. It is an achila. It's an achila. But since it's not an achila harigila, so that's why it's... It's called Eino Necho Kamo Shulchan. Yes.
Can you explain what Kasisa is?
Kasisa just means eating grain raw, eating barley raw, eating. You take the kernel out of the husk. Then that's all you have. So you can either grind it into flour, or you can eat it raw. So they had some people used to eat the barley raw. You know, you're in the fields, you're hungry, you want to have a snack. You have some kernels, but it's not really the normal way to eat it. If you eat the barley raw, what bracha do you make on it? You don't make a mezamos, right? Hadamah. Right? You make a hadamah on it because you're just eating it raw. It's not it doesn't get a mezamos. You don't have to make a mezamos if you cut the grain and you cook it. You process it in some way. You're not going to make a mezamos. Make a hadamah, but it's not. I mean, you want nena from it, so you're going to make a bracha, but you're not going to make the regular bracha because it's an achila shulkadakam. Okay, so we see a major machlokas between the Ritva and the Meiri. What does it mean that something has to be Necha Kamo Shulchai in order to be subject to the Rula B'Shalakam? Is the pshat that it has to be Roy La'ochlo Chai, normal, it has to be normal to eat it? Normal to eat it? And then it's called Necha Kamo Shulchai? Or maybe it's not called Necha Kamo Shulchai unless it's the normal type of eating that people do. The Meiri takes the idea one step further than the Ritva. He says it's not enough that it's normal to be eaten. Okay, we'll distinguish between ksisa and achila, but as long as it's ro'i la'ochlo chai, then that's enough. No, he says it has to be ro'i la'ochlo ba'achila harigila, normal to eat it. It should be a normal way to eat it. If it's achila shelo kedako, that's called eino necho kamo shulchai. Rabbi Ganak, in his seminal piece there on Pasach and Bishulakam in Oz Gimel, he wanted to suggest that according to the Ritva, all fish that are used for sushi, you know, the normal sushi is made from tuna or from salmon. Right? That's what they said. I did a little research yesterday. Normal sushi, the way that they do it is they have what's called sushi grade tuna and salmon. That means that it's fresh enough that we're not afraid that there's any bacteria in it. So they catch the fish. They don't cure it at all, actually. That's what they say. They don't cure it. It's actually eaten raw. It's not cooked. It's not cured. It's not prepared. It's not processed in any way. But if it's sushi-grade fish, so then apparently it's safe. It's safe. At least if it's tuna and salmon. There are other fish that were more concerned that they can get some kind of bacteria or tapeworms or other... I don't want to make this too disgusting, but that you can get some kind of parasites in the fish. But they still can put that, you know, so the experts can make sushi out of that too. What they do is they freeze it. They super freeze it in like freezers that can go below, in like 60 degrees below zero. So the conventional freezer can't do that, even a restaurant freezer can't do that. Yeah, you have to be a professional to do that. Most sushi, the sushi that we eat is probably all tuna and salmon. You know, the sushi that has fish in it. And it's, you know, it's tuna... It's sushi grade tuna, fish, and salmon, so it's not processed in any way. It's not cooked in any way, and that's how they keep it safe. So Rabbi Ganak wanted to suggest that tuna, maybe now we have a cooler for all tuna fish. All tuna fish is no problem. That was one of the big shilas in tuna fish. Canned tuna fish, isn't it a bishalakam problem? Because they cook it, they put it in the can. You know, they harvest the fish from the way, catch the fish from the waters, and then they cut it up, they put it in the can, and it's cooked a little bit in the can. So the question is, you know, is that Bishalakam? Bishalakam, a big problem. So the many issues, we're going to talk about that actually. That's going to be one of our last, if not the last issue that we're going to discuss in Bishalakam. There are many different coolers that they have for the canned tuna. Many, many different issues. So one suggestion might be that now that we have sushi, maybe tuna fish in general is not subject to Bishalakam because it's Nechal Kamo Shulchai in sushi. So Rebbe Ganak wanted to suggest, well, just one second, at least according to the Ritva, you can be Mekam. According to the Meiri, maybe not, because it's not the Achila Haragila. This article was written many, many years ago, like 20 years ago at least. Right, I forget when, but a long time ago. So then sushi was just becoming popular. You couldn't say that it's an Achila Haragila. People did it. It's Roy L'Ochlo Chai, for sure. Right? Not an Achila Haragila. So according to the Ritva, Roy L'Ochlo Chai is enough to say that it's Nechal Kamo Shulchai. According to the Meiri, you need an Achila Haragila. So maybe according to the Meiri, you know, it's not Nechal Kamo Shulchai, but at least according to the Ritva, you know, there's room to be Mekel. Bizman Azeh Ach Shadora. You know, now it's a different generation. Now it's the Achila Haragila. Maybe most tuna fish is eaten, you know, in the form of sushi and not out of the can. I don't know if I would go that far. But there's certainly plenty. It's certainly achila haragila to have the sushi. You know, you come to a shmugis, but if there's no sushi, people start complaining now. It's gotten to that point. I don't know if I would complain for a lack of sushi, but I'm sure there's no lack of food at that shmugis, but even if there is no sushi. But it's certainly achila haragila, so maybe even according to the Meiri, it's nechal kamo shulchai. Maybe even according to the Meiri, it's nechal kamo shulchai. No, but there's something else that's even raw. I think Rabbi Willie gave shiurim on these topics, Machalei Akam, Nor Shakolel, 30-some-odd years ago. I think he even mentioned sushi then, but it was not so common. But the way he said it over is, sushi and tartar. You ever heard of tartar? Mm-hmm. Tartar never really caught on too much. Sushi is really wild now. But tartar is some kind of raw meat. They eat raw meat, that sounds scary.
Carpaccio.
Carpaccio?
Carpaccio. It's like a beef carpaccio. I don't think
it's... Oh, really? Okay. I've heard of tartar. It's spelled T-A-R-T-A-R-E. Tartare? I think it's pronounced tartar. So I don't think we would say tartar is the achila harigila of meat. I think most people do cook meat. There are many different ways of cooking meat. But I think most people cook meat. Is that correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think most people eat meat in the cooked form. So to say that tartar is the achila haragila, I don't know if I would go so far. Some people might even say it's not really ro'i lo'ochlo chai either. You know, it's scary. It's not so safe. It's not so common. I don't know if I would go that far. Maybe it's ro'i lo'ochlo chai. People eat it as tartar. Maybe it's ro'i lo'ochlo chai. But to say that it's the achila haragila, that far I wouldn't go. Say that to eat meat raw is the achila haragila. Tuna fish, salmon, to eat that achila haragila and sushi, I think maybe at this point we can say it's an achila haragila. But to go so far as to say that meat is not subject to bishalakam because it can be eaten in the form of tartar, I don't know, that's really a kula yisera that perhaps we shouldn't rely on. Yes?
If the problem was because, let's say, it was like very, very expensive, that change it? Meaning it's not normal only because, let's say, it's like $100 a plate. But if it was successful, if people would do it, then would that make a difference?
I don't think it does make a difference, because if you look in the Chelkas Binyamin, in Sivkot Nehei, he says that determining whether something is Nechal Kamo Shulchai is not a function of the individual, it's a function of the Rov B'nei Odom in that Mokom. We follow the Rov. What do Rov people do? So it's a function of what most people eat. So, you know, just because there are a couple of wealthy people, you know, who are having this tartar, that doesn't make it the normal minig hamakom. So I think lechar, we have to follow what the minig hamakom is. So if most people are not eating raw meat, so then it's hard to say that it's the achila haragila of the raw meat, even if it's roi le'ochlo chai. And of course, this is a function of kol zman v'chol makom. You know, bizman hazeh, there are many vegetables that are eaten raw. You know, broccoli and cauliflower, zucchini. You have a lot of vegetables that are eaten raw. It never used to be done like 25 years ago. Who ate broccoli raw? But now it's like a delicacy. That's, you know, you'll have that in the Shmugis Board. Even if they don't serve sushi, they might serve raw broccoli and raw zucchini. interesting. So maybe bisman hazeh, maybe these vegetables also not subject to bishalakim. Broccoli, cauliflower, this is a bit cooler. Broccoli, cauliflower, zucchini, all these vegetables that are eaten commonly raw. Is it that common to eat these things raw? What do you think?
No.
No. You think it's not? It's okay. What?
Is that a thing?
The jury's out. Okay, the jury's out on the raw broccoli. Okay, but I think tuna and salmon, I think it's pretty clear that those are nechak moshu chai, pretty commonly in the form of sushi. So it would seem as though that's a bit cooler to rely on, that the rules of bishulakim should not apply to those types of fish. Effie?
The same as applies to all tuna and salmon, or just sushi grade tuna and salmon?
So I think it would apply to all tuna. You know, sushi grade just means it's fresher. So it's the min, right? It's certainly the min. And we're going to talk in a few moments about different types of presentation. You know, there's mashed potatoes and there's regular fancy potatoes and there's potato chips. But it's hard to say that the fish is a different type of presentation if it's fresh or if it's not fresh. It's doch dezel bezach. It's really the same thing. So I'm not sure that would play a role in this conversation. Yes.
So lachu and maisa, are we kosher for both opinions?
It's a sniff lahakel, you know. It is a sniff lahakel, but yeah, it's not so clear. It's not so clear. I mean, where would you say that there would be enough gemina? But in the case of tartar,
because
tartar, right. I'm saying. What I told you is that when it comes to sushi, so it's even achila haragila to eat the tuna and the salmon raw. But we're thinking, is there enough gemina? I mean, is there something that can be eaten raw, but it's not normal to be eaten raw? So what's an example of that? Maybe you could say the broccoli and the zucchini and the cauliflower certainly can be eaten raw. People do eat it raw, but maybe it's not so common. Right? So how would we paskin in this shaila? Unclear. It's unclear how to paskin in this shaila.
I'm sure you could find nowadays, some crazy guy.
Yes, I don't think we're talking about the crazy guy. I think we're talking about that some people do. It's a mir hamotzi, let's say. Let's say it's more than 10%. It's a mir hamotzi, but you wouldn't say that, 50, 60% of people are eating it raw. I think sushi, I think it's pretty safe to say that at least 95% of people are, a lot of people are eating sushi. You know, it's a delicacy now. Yeah.
If you were going to go to a publication that, for example, did eat tartar commonly, would...
If you go to a publication?
No, if you go to a location.
A location.
If you're in a country, for example, where it was normal to eat meat raw, right. In Spain, would that...
We follow the anoshim of that makom. That's what the Chelkas Binyamin writes. Where is this? It's in packet 5. Chelkas Binyamin at the end. He says, "V'yesh mishikos." This is Sifkot and Hay. Yesh mish on page 11. Yesh mishikos of the gather nechal chay tole b'chol yachu yachu the mishaochel lefamim meizem meichok shulchay mutlo laochel gam levushal al yidei akum. Who's that? The Sefer Bnei Chay that's quoted in the Birke Yosef and the Daket Shuva. Some want to say it's dependent on the individual. Aval har beposkim nechal guazel v'svilu shakol tole b'minigro bnei adam. Har beposkim the prichadash the Sefer Tos v'Shabbes the Solos b'mincha. Etc. The Chachmas Adam, Aruch HaShulchan, etc. They all say it's dependent on Rov Bnei Adam. Rov Bnei Adam. Miyu, he adds, Ein Olchim Bazach HaRov HaOlam Elach HaRov Anche Oso Mokom. The Komokom U'Mokom Nidom Kefi Rov HaNoshev E'Mokom Echa Badal Mokom Acher. Rov Anche HaMokom. Follow the minig of that particular Mokom to determine whether it's Nechal Kamo Shulchan. Okay? This is the first element. Right? The first limitation, the first Kula in Bishalakam, if it's Nechal Kamo Shulchan, it's not subject to Bishalakam. But we pointed out that Rabbeinu Tam, the Balei Tosfos, say that we paskin like both versions of the Gemara. That either if it's Nechal Kamo Shulchai or if it's Eino Ol Al Shulchan Malachim, it's not subject to Bishalakim. So let's discuss the second element as well. The Rambam in Ilchos Macholos Asuras Perek Yud Zayin Halacha Tesvav. The Rambam explains why something that's Eino Ol Al Shulchan Malachim is not subject to Bishalakim. Rambam says that Akum Shabishel, his Bishel is Osir, that's in the previous halacha. Then he says, Bamedvar Mamurim, Bedavar Shuola Shulcha Malachim Lechel Boisapas, Gigombos, Ubaitsim Vidagam Chayotzibem. Avodavar Shenola Shulcha Malachim Lechel Boisapas, Gigon Turmesin, Shasholku, some kind of vegetable, it's not Ola Shulcha Malachim, Aval pi she'enem necholem chayim, harei elu mutarim. She'ikar ha'gezer mishum chasnus shelo yizamnu ha'akum etzlo besuda. Ikar gezer is because of chasnus, we're afraid the guy will invite him and then they'll have a kirv adas, it'll lead to intermarriage. V'dabash ino ala shuch malachim lechol basapaz, eno de mezamen es chaver olog. Zok the Rambam, no one invites the friend on something that's not ola shulchan malachim, so we're not afraid of chas, we're not afraid of kir vadas. No kir vadas, no issa. This is the Rambam. It's a function of whether there's a chashivus to the item. If it's ain't ola shulchan malachim, there's no chashivus to the food, so there's no chashash of chasness, so chazal never made exam. Okay. The question is, the $64,000 question, is what is called ola shulchan malachim? What is ola shulchan malachim? And then, by contrast, we'll say what's not ola shulchan malachim is going to be mutter. So we have to define what is ola shulchan malachim, and then we can figure out what the kula involves. So first of all, what does shulchan malachim mean? Does it mean? Well, before we discuss what it means, let's first discuss what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean a king's table, meaning limited to a king. It means a choshev person, right? It's not limited to a king. It means anashim chashuvim, sarim. Right? The lashon of the issa v'heta in at least two places, I think, in Simon Mem Gimel, is sarim. This is in packet 6, Bishalakim Gimel, on page 1. The issa v'heta ha'aruch, Rabbeinu Yonah. Right, so he writes, Pasuk atosus l'sham perek beis davar azar. Right, we pass like both versions. And then he says it again. He says, Perish Ainik Rachilosuk Shulchai al Mavushal Otsoli, Avishanakh Gamkin Chai al Yidea Chak. Miku shaper eno nechal kushuchai va'ola al shulchan sarim. Shulchan sarim. So it's not a king's table. It's not limited to kings. Ola al shulchan sarim. That choshev the people would eat it. But the question is, still, what does that mean? Does it mean that it's eaten at a state dinner, at a banquet, at a dinner for the sar? The sar is making a choshev a meal, so then he'll eat this food. That's called ola al shulchan sarim. But if it's not served at a state dinner, then it's not Ola Shulchan Malachim. Or maybe we should say Ola Shulchan Malachim, Ola Shulchan Sar means it's just not a Michael Garua. The Sar would eat it. It's Ola Al Shulchanu in any context. You know, he'll serve it at a state dinner, he'll eat it for breakfast too. As long as the Sar eats it, it's fine. If it's not a Michael Garua, if it's a Michael Garua, if it's a deficient type of food, you know, if it has a lot of, if it's whole wheat bread, so if there's bran in it, so then he's not going to eat it. That sar is pasnished. You know, he's not going to do that. But sometimes he'll eat things for breakfast that he wouldn't serve. You know, if another dignitary were coming, if there's a meeting of all of the representatives, of all of the senators, of all the whatever, they're not going to serve such food. But yet he'll eat it in the privacy of his own home. So what's the din? Rabbi Ganak in Os Beis tells the following story. He says, one time, Reb Shimon Schwab asked the Chazon Ish. Wow. Reb Shimon Schwab asked the Chazon Ish where the sardines are Ola Shulchan Malachim. That was another big shaila, right? The canned tuna fish, the canned sardines. Are sardines Ola Shulchan Malachim? And the Chazon Ish said to him, Bezal Loshen, that even the King of England will eat sardines for breakfast. That's what the Chazon Ish said. And that's what the Chazon Ish said. So what does that mean? So what he's saying is it's not a Michael Garua. That's what the Chazon Ish was saying. I don't think any king of England is going to serve sardines at a state dinner. You know, if he invites, I don't know, the king of some other country, right? He invites a head of state. She invites a head of state, right? I don't think the king or queen of England is going to serve sardines, you know, even fancy sardines at that state dinner. But the Queen of England might eat sardines. I don't know what her personal predilections are. She might eat sardines for breakfast, says the Chazon Ish. So what's the Chazon Ish assuming? That Ola Shulchan Malachim means it's not a Michael Garua. It doesn't have to be a Michael Choshev as long as it's not a Michael Garua. That's called Ola Shulchan Malachim, and it would be subject to the principles of Bishalakim. But most poskim disagree. Most poskim assume that Ola Shulchan Malachim means a Sudas Malachim. It has to be a sudas sarim, a sudas malachim, a state dinner. It's served at a chashuv meal. Okay, we don't go to state dinners too much, right? But it's served at a chasana. That's our state dinner. A chashuv meal. A chashuv banquet. Right? A chashuv banquet. That's where it's going to be served. But if it's not served at a chashuv banquet, even if a sar, even if a melech would eat that food for breakfast, that's not enough. It's not enough to be called ola shochem alachem. What's the nafkamina? What's the nafkamina? So the nafkamina is Rice Krispies, Cheerios, all the cereals. Dignitaries might eat cold cereal for breakfast, but they ain't serving that at a state dinner. So is that subject to Bishul Hakam? We said Cheerios are not bechlal pasakim because it doesn't have a tzuras apas. Now we discussed, I think, after the shir, if you make a hamotzi, if you kovei a sud on Cheerios, would you make a hamotzi? We said some posts can say that maybe certain cereals be square-like cereals, hard cereals, you know, thick cereals, maybe you would, maybe there is some kind of a tzuras apas to that, but most cereals do not have a tzuras apas, and in fact some posts can say no cereals have a tzuras apas. This small little breklach, that's not choshev enough. It's not chashuv enough to make a hamotzi on that. Either because it's definitely possible b'kistin, it's not pas. It's dependent on how you define possible b'kistin. Or stama doesn't have a tursa pas anyway. So Cheerios, we claimed, would not be subject to the rules of pasakim. And that's why you don't have to be machmer aseres mechuvah or Shabbos and Yom Tov. Right? We quoted from the Mishnah Berurah that you have to be machmer, one should be machmer on Shabbos and Yom Tov for all of the pas that you eat. Not just the pas of the tzias pas, but all the pas. So if you're going to treat Cheerios as subject to the rules of pas akam, so then on Shabbos you shouldn't eat Cheerios at all, even in the afternoon or in the morning. Or, well, I don't know. Before shul, you shouldn't be eating Cheerios anyway. But okay, Let's say it's a long afternoon. You really like Cheerios, and well, maybe you wait only 3 hours. For those people who wait 3 hours, you're going to have a bowl of Cheerios and milk for shalosh shudas or whatever. You just can't hold back. Right? You can't hold back for Sunday morning brunch, Sunday morning breakfast. Right? So would that be mutter? So if you say Cheerios is not subject to pasakim, so the chumrah to have pasakim on Shabbos wouldn't be a problem. Yeah, but you're jumping from the frying pan into the fire. Maybe the chumrah of pasakim on Shabbos doesn't apply, but gevalt, it's subject to bishalakim then. And bishalakim is something that shayach kol hashana kula. So even if you have a mashgiach to make sure that the Cheerios is completely kosher, there are no non-kosher ingredients in the Cheerios, but gevalt, if he doesn't turn on the oven, maybe that'll be a problem of bishul akum. Oh, but if you assume that the only item that's subject to bishul akum is something that's olah shulchan malachim, something that's served at a state dinner, so then it's ena olah shulchan malachim, so it's not subject to bishul akum at all. So, as long as it's kosher, it's kosher. Right, as long as it's kosher, so then you won't have to worry about the problem of bishul akum and Cheerios. Yes?
When it comes to this discussion about olah shulchan malachim, are you talking about a type of food, or are you talking about food and a specific way of preparation?
I'm going to talk about that in a moment. That's one of the other discussions we have to have. Right, we said potato chips as opposed to mashed potatoes or, you know, hash browns or fancy potatoes. We'll talk about the presentation in a moment. This is the first issue. First issue is, does olah shulchan malachim mean it's served at a state dinner, or it just means it's not a meichel garua? So most poskim assume that it has to be a choshev meichel, something that's served at a choshev meal, at a chasana, at something, at some kind of important occasion. Next issue that's discussed. Lelafes boes apas. Right, the Rambam said it 3 times. Lelafes boes apas. Olah shulchan malachim. Lelafes boes apas. From the Gemara, you get the impression that something is not called Ola al Shulchan Malachim unless it's Malafes Boas Abbas. What does that mean, Malafes Boas Abbas? It serves as a spread for the bread. You know, they used to eat a lot of bread. They didn't have a lot of money, so bread was cheaper, right? So they'd have the bread, but they wanted nutrition. They wanted to fill themselves up and, you know, with a good meal. So they'd add a little fish, a little meat, a little something or other to put on the bread. That was the normal way to eat. So from the Gemara, you get the impression that the only thing that's olah shulchan malachim is if it's coming, lelafes bosa pas, is coming to be eaten together with bread, like bosa v'dogim, meat and fish and things like that, that we eat together with bread. What would be the din if the item is not lelafes bosa pas? Let's say they serve it at a state dinner. They serve it at a choshev meal, serve it at a chasna, but it's not lelafes bosa pas. They don't serve it together with the bread. What's the halacha? So the Rashba in Taras Abayis takes a stand on this issue. This is in packet number 6. The Rashba quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel, same as the Ritva. Rashba quotes Rabbeinu Chananel that nafgemina, the nafgemina of Daisa, between the first Lashon and the second Lashon, so Rabbeinu Chananel interpreted that Daisa is Nechal Kamo Shulchai, but it's Ola Shulcham Alochim too. And that's the nafgemina, that according to the first Lashon, since it's Nechal Kamo Shulchai, it's subject to Bishlakam. Since Nechal Kamo Shulchai, it's not subject to Bishlakam, according to the second Lashon, since it's Ola Shulcham Alochim, it would be subject to Bishlakam. Factor Ashba, Ella the Kashali, the Bakulunushoi, Hochi Isbu, Kolcheno, Olashuk Malochim, Lilafis Sapas, Chaim Bilchas Rav Alfasi, then Kane Hechef Shaloma, the Daisa, Olashuk Malochim, Lilafis. Daisa is not Malafis, Borsapas. Velor Mina Baama, Hani, Bavloi Tipshoi, the Achli Nama Benama. We say that the Bavli Tipshoi, or Achli Nama Benama, no one does that. So if it's not Malafis, Borsapas, it's not Olashuk Malochim. So how can you say it's subject to Bishalakam? So the Rashba doesn't change the pshat like the Ritva says. He says, no, let me give you a different pshat. He says, V'yeshli lomad lo'omru l'laveh z'zapas l'adavka b'minei lifton. Kloma she'ein b'chol minei lifton v'shem b'shalon ochrim ela b'minei lifton ha'chashuvim sha'olin machmas chashivuson ha'sholcham olochim l'laveh z'zapas v'she'ein kir v'das ela b'hem. Avo macholim ha'necholim b'toiras maichom the lo b'teiras liftan, lo be'inan sha'olim ha'shulcham malachim l'lafis, ela kol sha'olim ha'shulcham malachim l'echol yesh b'mishim b'shul le'ol b'kachol. The Rashba has a yisum. He says, when do we claim that it's not enough to be ol ha'shulcham malachim, but it has to be malafis b'sapaz? That means that things that are liftan, right, things that are eaten, you know, that are like secondary foods, right, they're not as ikar as the pas. They're eaten as a lifton, as a spread, as something that we add. So if they're malafis boas apas, then they're subject to the rules of bishalakam. If they're not malafis boas apas, then they wouldn't be subject to the rules of bishalakam. But something that's not eaten b'toras lifton, but rather b'toras maichel. It's like a brisket vort in the Rashba, right? B'toras lifton or b'toras maichel. Something that's eaten independently. B'toras Michael. What does it mean, B'toras Michael? It's eaten l'mozon, ula hasbia. It's eaten to satisfy you. Right? It's not just, you know, bread is not the only thing that can satisfy you. There are other things that can satisfy you. Daisa, he says, is eaten to satisfy. It's not eaten as a lifton ever. Right? You don't eat it with pas, but you eat, right? It's not secondary to anything. You eat it by itself. It's eaten l'mozon, ula hasbia. That's B'toras Michael. It's eaten as a Michael. It's not eaten as a lifton. It's something secondary to something else. So it's not secondary to something else, then if it's Ola Shulcham Malachim, then it's subject to Bishalachim, even if it's not Malafis Bozapas, because it's never Malafis Bozapas. It has an intrinsic chashivus. The only time we add this criterion that it has to be Malafis Bozapas, that's only something that's eaten normally B'toras Lifton. It's secondary to the pas. It's a secondary type of food. So if it's eaten together with the pas, then it's chashiv enough to be subject to Bishalachim. And if not, but something that's eaten B'toras Meichel can be subject to Bishalachim. If it's Ola Shulcham Malachim, even if it's not Malafis Borsapas. This is what the Rashba wanted to suggest. The Ritva disagreed. That's why the Ritva changed, had a different shot. Right? The Ritva said that Daisa is not Nechol Kamo Shulchai and Ola Shulcham Malachim. No, it's Eino Nechol Kamo Shulchai Ve'eino Ola Shulcham Malachim. Precisely because it's not Malafis Borsapas. So according to the Ritva, it sounds like Idafka has to be Malafis Bo Sapas in order to be called Ola Shulcham Malachim, in order to be subject to the rules of Bishalak. And that seems to be what the Rambam says as well, at first glance. Right? Because the Rambam mentions Malafis Bo Sapas 3 times. Right? B'medvim amurim b'davashu Ola Shulcham Malachim lecha Bo Sapas. Habadavash ain't Ola Shulcham Malachim lecha Bo Sapatin. And then he says, V'dovashen olo shalom alochem, lechobos apas. He constantly says, lechobos apas. Sounds like according to the Rambam, it's not enough to be olo shalom alochem, it has to be lechobos apas. It has to be lechobos apas, like the Ritva against the Rashba. Rashba says that if it's eaten, l'mozun ulasbi, it's eaten by itself, then it doesn't have to be melavis bos apas, to be choshev enough, to be called olo shalom alochem, to be subject to the rules of Bishalakim. And the Ritva and the Rambam would seem to say that no, It has to be Malavis Blas Apas. And if not, it's not included in this Gzeira. Ah, you'll tell me, but people... Well, we'll get to this far in a moment. Yes?
What does Mazon Malas be? I mean, like a side dish one account?
Mazon ulasbiyah.
Right.
Okay, we'll get to cases in a moment. Okay, I just want to get the halacha, and then we'll get to the cases. Yes.
Can you explain again the category the Rashba of Torah, like things are eaten
Torah shlifta? Torah means things that are eaten as like a secondary food. The Torah shlifta, like let's say vegetables. Right? Is a vegetable eaten lemazon ulasbiyah? I don't think so. A salad, lemazon ulasbiyah. Well, nowadays, right, that's the problem. People love to eat salad. You're right. People love to eat salad. Women love to eat salad. Right? That's mamish, the ikar meichel. Yeah, but most people are not cooking the salad anyway, so I'm not sure. Right, it's not gonna be relevant to us for this discussion. What's an example? It's hard to think of an example of something that's a liftan. You see, bas v'dagim is the classical example that they had at the time of the Gemara. They were eaten together. No one ate fish alone. They ate it with bread. Fish and meat and chicken soup with bread. Mm-hmm. Right? I hear you. You'd eat it together with the bread, right? And chanami. Other foods? Are there other foods? I don't know, potatoes. So they ate a lot of potatoes at the time of the Gemara. Right? So would they eat potatoes with... Is that eaten with Taras Liftan? That's eaten with the bread? It's eaten by itself. I mean, it's a hard definition.
All these dips, like onion dip, garlic dip, all that.
So that's definitely eaten b'tar. Right, that's definitely eaten only b'tar es liftam, for sure. For sure. But the problem is, I'm trying to give a case where something is eaten b'tar es liftam, something that's eaten b'tar es liftam,
a hard-boiled egg.
Beitzim and dogim. Right, that's eaten by Torah's lift. It would not be eaten by itself. You wouldn't eat the egg by itself. It's a good case, right? That you wouldn't eat the egg by itself, but it's eaten by Torah's lift. Right. So the case of the Rashba is that Daisa, even though it's not Malavis Bar Sapas, but because it's eaten by itself, that's Chashiv enough. But all these other things, the Beitzim and the Dogim and the Basar, they are eaten by Torah's lift. Right, so they would be subject to bishalakum. I mean, barring other issues that we've spoken, but they'd be subject to bishalakum because they taka malafis boasapas. The shiloh of the Rashba is if you have something that's not malafis boasapas, you're eating it. It's not malafis boasapas. You wouldn't eat it together with the bread, but you'd eat it lahasbio lemazam. Potato kugel, right? How about potato kugel, lokshen kugel? Do you eat that with bread? I don't think so. You eat it lemazon ulahasbiyah? Might. It's part of the food, part of the meal, no? Potato kugel. Yes, Tuvia.
So doesn't the Rashba though give a distinction about when bishalakum applies to foods that are Torah Sliftan?
The Rashba says... Right, so there's some liftan. What is liftan? Right, liftan that's eaten together with bread, and liftan that's not eaten together with bread. Something that's a secondary type of food that's not eaten together with bread. I don't know. I think potato kugel is that bread? Is that food that you're looking for?
So in those examples,
potato kugel is not an ikar part of the suda. It's not the meat. It's not the I mean, it's the meat and the potatoes. It's not the meat of the meal. It's a side dish. There's something that's a side dish. Maybe that's not chashiv enough unless you eat it together with bread, according to the Rashba.
So these foods wouldn't be subject to bishalakum?
According to the Rashba. According to the Ritva and the Rambam, you get the impression that only something that's malafis bo sapas would be subject to bishalakum. Basa, dogim, beitzim, something like that. What's the svara? So, at first glance, you'd think that the svara is, according to the Ritva and the Rambam, the problem with bishalakum is that we're afraid that the goy is going to invite the Jew. What do people invite each other for? A suda of pas, a chash of a meal. So maybe only something that's malafes boas apas is called ola shulcha malachim because that's coming together with the sudas pas. Maybe that's what the Ritva and the Rama have in mind. Whereas the Rashba says, it's not limited to a sudas pas. It's a function of whether people would actually invite each other over this meichel. So as long as the meichel is chashev enough that it shows the chiba vereus, even if it's not malafes boas apas, that's enough chashivas to create a kirva das that would be subject to the Yisra Bishal Akam. That would be subject to the Yisra Bishal Akam, according to the Rashba. The nafkamina would be kugel, right? Potato kugel. Right? It's a side dish. It's not malavis bo sapas, right? It's not malavis bo sapas. Right? It's not malavis bo sapas. Don't eat it together with bread, but would you say that it's eaten lamazon lahaspia?
Yeah. Yapchik.
Yapchik. Whoa. Okay. No, but if the Rashba, if the Rishonim are assuming that basar is malafes basar pas, you're saying the potatoes in the yapchik.
Sometimes kugel is not like a side though. Like every Shabbos, the rice would be probably better.
All right, so let's think. Again, kugel is not malafis basar pas, that's for sure. So according to the Ritva and the Rambam, at least at this stage in the game, right, it would seem as though the Ritva and the Rambam would say, since it's not malafis basar pas, then it's not subject to Bishul Akam at all. According to the Rashba, the only way to make it subject to Bishul Akam is if it's an ikar part of the Suda. If it comes l'mazon u'l'hasbiya, an ikar part of the Suda. It's not just a liftan. We think in terms of liftan, we think of like something secondary to the bread. Right? So they ate meat and fish as secondary to the bread. But if the kugel is not eaten as secondary to the bread, it's like an independent unit. So maybe according to the Rashba, maybe that would be chashuv enough. If you hold malafis basar pas, that's it. That's the rule. So we gotta run with the rule. So then since it's not malafis basar pas, it's not subject to Bishul Akam. But if it's something that's normally eaten independently, it has its own chashivus. I added lemazon ulahasbia. The Rashba doesn't say that. He says that if it's eaten b'taras meichel, right? So potato kugel is eaten b'taras meichel, right? That's the 5:30 in the afternoon, meichel. But well, that's not a meal. But meichel, you come to a simcha, you must have the potato kugel before you go to your host's home, right? You have that's the potato kugel. If you come to visit some potato kugel. Yapchik, I don't know, whatever, depending on your community. Right? So, it's eaten b'taras meichel. So, if it's eaten b'taras meichel, according to the Rashba, that has an independent chashivas, and maybe the rules of Bishul Akam would be shaykh to that. Why do I keep on saying that the Ritva and the Rambam, as we've explained it till this point, like I don't want to say this is mukhruch, because the Rambam adds another point that perhaps implies that the Rambam really has a third sheet over here. And that relates to the other question, the corollary of this issue, and that is something that's served as a dessert. Right? That's also not malafes boas apas. I mean, no one eats the ice cream with bread. Right? You can eat my ice cream with bread, that's worse than the bavli tipshoy. Right? No one eats ice cream with bread. It's not malafes boas apas, but does it have an independent chashivus? What's the rule of desserts? That's a big discussion in post. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if it's parperes, that is subject to Bishul Akam. Right? The Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is Dover Sheno Necho Kamo Shulchai V'gam Ola Ashulcha Melachim L'laviz Bo Sapas Ola Parperes Ola Parperes Shebishlo Ove Gachavim Afilo Bekli Yisrael Beveis Yisrael Osa Mishum Bishulei Ove Gachavim. What's this parperes? Well, what's parperes? So the Chagas Ben Yamin says parperes means dessert, something that's eaten lekinuach hasuda. Where did the Shulchan Aruch come off to say that parperes is included within Bishul Akam? Kinuach suda. Well, why is that included? So if you look in the Beis Yosef in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, I don't think I assigned this, but sometimes you have to research a little bit more. The Beis Yosef in page Yud Beis in the second packet of Beis Yosef. says Mashakosa Rabbeinu Ola Parperes. It's a quotation of the Torah, really. Kainiram Idivri HaRambam. The Rambam says this. Shakosa Goy Shehitzis Or Ba'agam. Let's say the Goy lights a fire in the swamp or something somewhere. Kedilahavir HaChotzir, to get rid of the grass. The Nisbashul B'Chagavim, but the grasshoppers get cooked with the Or that he was made Tzitz. Interesting case. Even in a case where the chagavim, the grasshoppers, would be olam, who would eat that? Mishum parpes. This is the Viennese table, the original Viennese table. Grasshoppers. Like, I'm sorry if I killed your appetite for lunch. The Rambam says mishum parpes. Mishum parpes is subject, would be subject to the bishlakim. This case happens not to be subject to bishlakim. Why? What's the Rambam going on? If you look at the Rambam inside, he's going on a case where the goy did not have in mind to cook the item. He wants to remove the chatzir. So his cooking is not to cook the parperes. It happens to be that the parperes gets cooked. So that's why it's not subject to bishlakam. It's bishul shalom kavan. But if it would be bishul kavan, it would be subject to bishlakam, even though it's only parperes. Zok the tour, you see, parperes is also subject to bishlakam. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. Comes the pre-chadash. And he says, I think even the Rashba would admit to this as well. Because the Rashba says that you need something that comes to be Malafes HaSapas. Right? If something is Lamazon Ulasbiya, it's subject to Bishalakam, it's Allah Shacham Lachim. If it's eaten Betoras Lifton, so then only if it's Malafes HaSapas. If it's a secondary food, it has to be Malafes HaSapas to be Choshev. But Zokta Pri Chodosh, I think the Rashba would say that one. He says, I think even the Rashba would admit that Parperes is not shaykh to Bishalakam, he says, because no one's going to be mezamein his friend only on Parperes. That's what the Pri Chodesh says. Meaning, what's he saying even? The Ritva Zicher would say that there's no din of Bishalakam in Parperes. It's not Malavis was a pass. Right, Parperes, dessert? You're not going to eat the grasshopper with the dessert. You're finished with your bread. You're not going to eat the grasshopper with the bread. You're finished with your bread. Right? You're not going to eat your cake with dessert. You're not going to eat the ice cream with dessert. So according to the Ritva Zicher, it's not included within Bishlakam. Zokta Pri Chodesh, even the Rashba would say it's not included within Bishlakam. Because the Rashba says it doesn't have to be Malafis Basapas, but only if it's an Ikar Meichel. Only if you eat it Petoras Meichel. But what does that mean? It's eaten the Taras Meichel. It's choshev enough that you'd be mezamin your friend with it. But kinuach is not choshev enough. So since you would never invite someone on that, the Rashba would say that it's not subject to bishulakum. So the Rashba and the Ritva should both say that prepares any dessert type food should not be subject to bishulakum, either because it's not malafis boasapas or because it's not choshev enough to be mezamin your friend. But yet the Rambam says that Parperes is subject to Bishalakam. Right? The Rambam says that it is subject to Bishalakam, which is quite interesting, even though we put the Rambam together with the Ritva. So the answer must be that the Rambam doesn't hold that the only thing that's subject to Bishalakam is something that's eaten together with bread. The Rambam says anything that's eaten in a bread meal, in a Suda Chashuva, is Chashuv enough to be subject to Bishalakam. Anything eaten in a bread meal. That's enough according to the Rambam. Not like the Ritva. I'm splitting the Rambam from the Ritva. The Ritva says it's got to be eaten together with bread. Period. The Rambam says it has to be eaten in a bread meal. So, in a bread meal? Kinuach. Dessert is part of a bread meal. In fact, for my kids, dessert might be the ikar of the bread meal. Right? More ikar than the bread itself. Maybe not for my kids, but for my grandchildren, definitely. Right? So, according to Rama, Parperes would be subject to Bishalakam because it is eaten in a bread meal. It has that chashivas. And according to the Rashba, Parperes would not be subject to Bishalakam the way the Prichodesh understands the Rashba, because it's not choshev enough. The Rashba says you don't need Malavis Bozapas, but it has to be choshev b'toras Michael. It's not choshev enough to be mezamein your friend on it. So, therefore, according to the Rashba, it would not be subject to Bishalakam. Okay, these are the three shittas that we have. Okay? But many poskim have pointed out that bizman hazeh, parperes, kinuach, that's mamish, the ikar food that you'd be mezamin your friend on. So it's hard to believe that the Rashba would say that that's not subject to Bishalakim. Maybe the Ritva, the only kula you have is the Ritva would say it's not subject to Bishalakim, it's not eaten together with bread. But according to both the Rambam and the Rashba, and that's the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that as long as it's eaten in a Suda Chashuva, that's the way the Chelkis Ben Yamin explains the Shulchan Aruch. As long as it's eaten as part of a Suda Chashuva, it has a Chashivas. As part of a Suda Chashuva pas, then it has a Suda, it has its own Chashivas. If you're Malavis Bosa pas, if you're not Malavis Bosa pas, if it's eaten as part of dessert, it's all a part of Suda Chashuva. So according to the Rambam, that's Chashuv enough, and that would be subject to Bishalakim. So all of our desserts, one would have to be machmer. If there's a bishul involved, one would have to be machmer for bishul akum in all of our desserts. You can't say that that's eina ola shulchan malachim. Because lechora, it is chashuv enough. It's eaten as part of the suda chashuva. So lechora, the kul of eina ola shulchan malachim will not apply to our desserts. We still have a couple of things that we want to talk about. We'll get to them tomorrow. But let's just sum up. Let's just sum up now. We mentioned the shayla of Dunkin' Donuts. Right? Is there, you know, what's the cool of Dunkin' Donuts? Let's say the Dunkin' Donuts is owned by a non-Jew, and there are non-Jewish workers making donuts. So the problem with Dunkin' Donuts is that it's deep fried. Right? That's like a bishul. So it's not going to be subject to the rules of Pasakim, it'll be subject to the rules of Bishulakim. So what's the kula? So there are three possible kulas in Dunkin' Donuts. Either the Jew should be Madlik HaSa'ish, according to the Ashkenazim, that would be sufficient. The Mechaber wouldn't say like that. The Mechaber would say that Hadlokas Sa'ish only works for Pasakim, not for Bishulakim, but at least the Ramo would say Hadlokas Sa'ish would work. Or the other solution to the problem is that if you have a Shifcha Haschura Beveso Shal Yisrael, if the Dunkin' Donuts is owned by a Jew, and you have hired work in the making the donuts there in the Beveso Shal Yisrael, then maybe there's room to be miracle because you have the Tarti L'Tivusa that the Chelkas Binyamin had, that it's Shifcha Haschura in Beveso Shal Yisrael. Or the third option, even if it's based on Shalakim, let's say the Dunkin' Donuts is owned by the non-Jew. If it's owned by the non-Jew, then you don't have the kula of Beis Yisrael. But as some of the Talmidim mentioned yesterday, since it's Eina Ola Shulchan Malachim, you still have the kula. Because Mistama, most state dinners, they're not going to be serving Dunkin' Donuts. Right? They're not going to be serving donuts. They'll serve a fancy cake. You're not going to serve the donuts. And even if we'll say that the Queen of England eats Dunkin' Donuts for breakfast, I didn't say that, so don't quote me on it. But even if we'll say, even if we'll suggest the Queen of England does eat donuts for breakfast, but if since it's not served at a state dinner, most poskim, besides the Chazon Ish, would say that that's Eina Ola Shulchan Malachim, and therefore there's room to be Mekel for Bishul Akam with the donuts.